Welcome to the Home Building Hero, where we help you become the hero of your new home by providing you all the information that you need. No matter if you're an industry pro, you're building, or you're buying, we got you covered here at the Home Building Hero. We're coming to you live today from the LP Studios here in Wisconsin. I'm your host, David Bellman, president of Bellman Homes. Thank you for tuning in today. Here today with John Seaman with JC Property Professionals. Hey, John, welcome to the Home Building Hero.
What's up, man? I appreciate you having me on.
Oh, it's my pleasure. I'm glad to have you on. So for those of you listening in, just a little background on John. We're very excited to have him on the program today. He was actually featured in Forbes magazine online and had an article called Helping Blue-Collar Workers Become Millionaires Through Entrepreneurship. So that's very cool. Do you want to tell us a little bit about how that all came about?
Yeah, man, for sure. I appreciate you asking about it. So, you know, the last couple of years, obviously me working in the blue collar industry, anyone who's listening to this that may be in the blue collar industry or have hired someone in the blue collar industry recently knows all too well that there's a huge shortage of help. It's extremely detrimental right now to the industry. And, you know, so for the last year or so, I recognized that and I tried to start speaking about how can we get some new younger folks interested in coming out and working and getting their hands dirty. And, you know, that message started to get out. We started speaking to some kids at school and, you know, those couple articles reached out to us about writing, something about it to, you know, try to get that even further, that message even further. And it's definitely helped a tremendous amount. We want to continue working with folks like that who have a bigger reach than we do, who can shout a little bit louder than we can, you know? So we're going to keep working with some folks like that and keep beating that message out, you know?
Well, that's fantastic. And, you know, it's an important message because I think that is one of the biggest problems our industry faces, maybe besides just affordability of homes, but that yeah. ties into it as well, is that we just don't have enough people willing yep. to do the work and, you know, get out there and do it. And there's a wealth of opportunity. So we'll talk more about that in a minute. But before we kind of hit that topic, I do want to familiarize our audience here with you. So if you got a moment, just tell us a little bit about yourself, sure. like how you got involved in the trades and, you know, kind of, you know, your career path and how it's taken you.
Yeah, man. It's if we follow this, it's going to be like Pac-Man, right? It wasn't a linear, story. We just ended up here, but I grew up around folks. My dad, you know, he's built houses his whole life. So I grew up around folks that were in the blue collar industry. I recognized, you know, that, you know, from an early age, it was hard work. It was hard on your body. And, you know, I was pushed early on in school to maybe go to college and, you know, go get a degree. So I didn't have to work hard and, you know, have a potential to make a bunch of money. And, I did that. And along the way, I was quickly learning that I didn't love what I was going to school for and stuff, you know? So, also I recognized a quick opportunity to be able to make quick cash on the weekends, doing little construction projects and, in the evenings working on construction projects and stuff. So, you know, that opportunity to make quick money doing the stuff in the construction industry started taking more and more of my time. And I started doing more and more of that. I, you know, finished school, got my degree, got a job traveling, went as far as I could in that business, which was blue collar. You know, we went in, we installed energy management and illumination control and stuff in hotels. Went as far as I could in that business, also while doing side gigs for myself to make extra money.
Nice.
Decided at a certain point that, you know, not being able to move up in that business, I want to just start my own thing, which would, you know, replace that income that I was making there anyway. So I started out doing, again, just small stuff, additions, remodels, side and roofs, decks, stuff like that, and went and got my contractor's license, started building custom homes. And
about how old were you, do you think, when you'd made the jump to become an entrepreneur? When did you decide?
19.
Wow. That's really early. That's awesome.
Yeah. I've been recognized in a lot of municipalities and stuff like that. A lot of other articles for like, you know, youngest entrepreneur in a certain community. And honestly, I don't know why that is, why I decided so young that I wanted to start my own thing. I've always kind of had that mindset, even growing up as young as I could remember in school, we were always trading shoes or the newest iPod or something, you know,
running some little business, right?
Yeah, I love it. Yeah. Yeah. I guess I just seen opportunities. I grew up very poor, man. And I seen opportunities where like, hey, I want the nicer thing. I want what these other guys have. And, you know, I had to make that happen somehow, you know? And well,
I think it's helpful. Maybe you could talk about this, you know, being raised in an environment where your father was, you know, an entrepreneur himself, right? And in the trades, that probably rubs off, wouldn't you think?
Yeah. Yeah. So, yeah, he was always, you know, hustling and stuff and watching that. And I think, you know, being around it, but more so of seeing, hey, this is how I can make myself in a better position, like to just go hustle a little bit and go get some more cash. I think that's really what inspired me to keep doing it, you know, to keep moving forward with it.
Do you think that is one of the key pieces that resonates when you're talking to kids is that, you know, I mean, kids care about money, right? I mean, they don't
Everybody
have it,
does.
They want it.
Whether you know, folks say that they do or they don't, a lot of folks, I think, recognize that the tangible element of just, you know, a piece of paper, because $100 bill is the same thing as this napkin right here, right? It's just paper. You know, no one really cares about that, but they care about what the money can get you, you know? So yeah, 100%, man, that's what I speak about a lot, you know, is the opportunity of what, you know, you can make, you know, and that's what people are attracted to. Because they know that if they bring a bunch of money in, they can go get the things that make them happy, you know,
absolutely,
or be able to spend time with the people that make them happy, you know, because that's a huge argument too, right?
Yeah. Well, and I want to jump back on something you said earlier. There was two things that you kind of mentioned, and maybe we can break these out separate. But one of the first things you mentioned is you went to school, but you didn't find it was really for you. And so
right.
a kudos to you for recognizing that and then trying to kind of go a different path. Cause I think, you know, I guess let's pose it as this question is, what would you say to somebody who's feeling that way that maybe went to school, but thinks if I quit school, am I going to mm-hmm. be labeled a
Thanks.
Failure?
Thanks so much for bringing that up. That's something I speak about all the time, man. There's so many people that are like committed to, okay, I've invested 2 years into this path, whatever that may be. And I've got 2 to 3 more years left until I'm supposed to be completed with this. So I don't want to waste those 2 years I've already invested. Well, dude, what are you going to do? Waste 2 or 3 more? If you've right. recognized right now, hey, this is not what I want to do, and you know you're going to invest a whole lot of freaking money the next 2 to 3 years on the schooling and stuff, you're getting into a bunch of debt that you may or may not be able to pay back. Hey, pump the brakes, take a second, evaluate what you got going on with your life, what's going to make you happy, what you really want to do, you know, because 2 to 3 years ago, you made that decision with the mindset of who you were then. You may be a completely different person today, you know, when you're reevaluating, do I want to continue down this career path or do I want to continue down this path of education, you know? Yep. And don't take my message as don't go get educated, because I myself spent $250,000 this year alone in education. Wow. I continue to educate myself. It's just a different education. It's mindset. It's, you know, education on what I'm doing, you know? So education is huge. Please don't mistake my message for saying, don't go get educated.
Yeah, no, that's a good point. We'll touch a little bit more on, you know, kind of maybe the stuff that you didn't learn or you learned outside
yeah.
of school that you maybe wish 100%, you would
yeah.
We'll touch on that in a sec. But the other point I want to kind of get to with this is, why do you think it is that society puts so much emphasis on college and you have to go to college to be successful when there's just this wealth of opportunity out there right now in the construction mm-hmm. industry and several other manufacturing and those kind of industries?
Yeah. That's a great question. And that's a two-part question. So there's two parts to the answer, really. I think number one is it's blue collar industry is not shown as an admirable industry because most of us that go out at 5, 6 o'clock in the morning get back after dark, we come home absolutely filthy from head to toe. You know, we don't get to wear a nice suit to work and leather shoes and the whole get up, you know, and we're not driving a Ferrari to work, you know. But
so how many people really get to do, you know, I mean, like,
oh yeah, there's
that perception. Well, if you do this, that's what you get, but that's not
that's
really
the perception.
That's the 1% of that group. Right?
Yeah. Yeah. That's the perception. And that's the second part to the answer is, you know, there's this whole perception that's conceived around if you go get a degree for a university and you work in the white collar industry, that's what you're going to get. And you're also going to get a healthy salary with it and stuff. Well, dude, I work shoulder to shoulder with guys every day that make way more than doctors. You know, I work with guys that are younger than 20 years old that are making over six figures at a starting salary. You know, I mean, nobody sees that though. Who has ever went through school and been told, hey, this is the opportunity with blue collar? Yeah. I wasn't, and I don't know anyone that was. And that's why it's so hard in the industry to attract new young guys, because they're pushed to say, hey, well, if you're going to go do this, you're going to be dirty, you're going to be broken up, your body's going to be hurting, and you're not going to make any money. Well, who the hell wants to do that?
Correct.
Well, yep. If you're shown the other opportunity of, hey, there's a whole lot of money to be made here, you know, and it's not as nasty as a lot of people think, man, you know?
Well, there's some nice, you know, I think you're kind of alluding to that. You know, everyone focuses on the negative aspects of the trades, that maybe it's physical labor, it's hard work, mm-hmm. and that kind of thing. But there's positives to it. So what are some of the other positives? Obviously, we know there's a wealth of income and opportunities there. But what else do you think is a positive for being in the trades?
It's first of all, doing any kind of trade project is instantly gratifying, right? Because every single day, almost on every project, you get to step back and see what you've done, what you've created that day. You know, you take a pile of raw materials, you get to put it together and step back and see what it was. You also get to create people's dreams, man. You know, I from being a custom home builder for years, I've always used the analogy, like, you know, especially with women who have basically designed their wedding their entire life, right? They think about their wedding day their whole life. A custom home's the same way, man. You know, they think about what their dream home is going to have on every single material in that home. So you get to create that for somebody.
Sure.
You know?
Yeah. There's a lot of satisfaction, and it's a very tangible result when it's done. It's not just some concept. This is literally something that they may spend the majority of their life in.
Yeah, exactly. And literally almost every element that you touch or every tradesman, it is tangible, you know, even the heat and air guy, you know, it's, you get to turn the heat on for somebody, you know what I mean? And that may not be tangible, but you know, it's an amazing feeling throughout the day, you know?
Yeah. So one of the things that I think we're missing from maybe as a society, and this is one of the things that I wish we could get better messaging on, but it's like, there's that sort of pride in, I made this, I created this. And unfortunately, yeah, I think technology has ruined that a little bit for some of us, because now it's like, well, I posted this, so it's like I made it, even though it's not really a tangible good. It's just something out in cyberspace, and that, you know, but people get that instant gratification. Well, I got, you know, 100 likes on that, so that was great, but you didn't really produce anything really of value. Whereas, you know, when you make something, whether it's even just, you know, you built that cabinet, or you installed that door, or whatever it is, now you've made something of use that will last years. Like, you build a house that's going to be there for 200 years. You did that. You made that.
And you get to drive by it every single day. You know, that's a big joke with a bunch of tradesmen, you know, when you're driving down the road and you're telling your kid, hey, I built this and I built that. But dude, really, that's cool, man. You know, I mean, you get to brag on something every single day that you drive by. You know, nobody goes back in Instagram 2 months ago and looks at a post you made. I don't care how many likes it got, you know?
Sure. No, that makes sense. And, you know, I think that's something we have to do a better job of, just saying, you know, how did you, you know, impact the world, you know, and to leave something behind that's a structure, something that people look at. I think we need to celebrate that more, you know?
Yeah, absolutely, man. For sure. That's an amazing point. Yeah. I haven't thought much about that, but you're exactly right. You know, again, just using the social media aspect, you know, that's what impact did you leave with that? You know, now that's a huge credible factor too. Like, you know, if you want to make a difference, you have to have some kind of influence. You have to have a voice, you know? So that's a whole nother aspect, but yeah, you're right, man. You know, that you're, you know, in building and in the trades and stuff, you know, there is a major impact, especially on large development projects, you know? That's very impactful. You know,
we just put a road in this year, and it's like, that's pretty cool to say I built the road, you know, that's going to be there a long time, you know, and
for sure,
I was part of that. So why do you think there is such a disconnect between youth and the trades? Why has that happened?
I think, again, it's just because of the perception, you know. I think they're pushed really early on to look a different direction, you know, being, you know, going to college. You know, I was
I'll challenge you on this. Who is it? The schools? The parents?
I think it's the schools. Yeah, I hate to put my finger on it and accuse anybody. But from my own experience, obviously growing up in with tradesmen, you know, I was shown that that was okay to do. But every single day going to school, I was told you need to choose a university or a tech school. You know, you have to go to college, I was told, you know.
Sure.
And I knew I didn't really want to, you know, but I thought I had to, you know.
Correct. Yep.
Beating my head every single day. I mean, we go to school and spend 8 hours a day with them. We spend 4 to 5 in the evening with our parents, you know?
Yeah. Well, and unfortunately, you know, a lot of public schools are judged by how many of those kids did you A, graduate, and then B, right, of those that graduated, how many of them went on to higher learning, right? And that's the metric that they focus on. They're not focusing on, and maybe this is where it needs to change, is who's making money and successful, you know, down the road.
10 years down the road, what's the average salary of who came out of that school? Let's look at that, you know.
Sure.
Who cares how you got that salary? Because I guarantee there's more folks.
Well, other than maybe like dealing drugs or something, but
true. Yeah.
Hey, they're entrepreneurs. Yeah.
That's right. Yeah. They're businessmen too, I guess. Right.
Sure. Just not legal ones, but sure. But no, I think that's a good point though, is, you know, I think that's one of the things that's set up for failure is the fact that we have, you know, this emphasis on the success is going to school. That's a means to an end. That's not the end state.
Yeah.
Maybe that's where it gets missed a little bit.
Yeah. You're really just on another ride, you know, of that 4 to 5 years, you know, you're still riding that ride until you get out and get your hands dirty and figure out what it is that you're actually going to be doing, you know?
Do you think also, you know, one of the issues that has been identified, especially like with housing, is that, you know, when we had the last really big recession, you know, 2006 to whenever that officially ended, there's debate about that, but it went on for a good 5-6 years, right? A lot of the schools had budget problems, and then so they pulled the tech programs out. Did you see that? Is that a factor as well?
100%. Yeah. So I actually graduated. I'm 31 years old. I graduated high school in 2009. As I was coming out of high school, there was only 3 elective classes that were available. I, of course, took all of them because I didn't want to go sit in class and do paperwork. I wanted to get my hands dirty. You know, I was very kinesthetic, and I think a lot of kids are. And I know from the time I graduated in 2009 up till just a couple years ago, there was literally no vocational classes at all. So they've recognized that as an issue. They're starting to put that back into place. But I mean, for years, as you're coming through school, if you're not even shown opportunities like that, and on top of that, the compounding effect of it being beaten in your head of you have to go to college, dude, that's not even like, it's not top of mind. It's not even subconscious. It's like not even in your mind, you know? I mean, how do you think all of this is created every single day, you know?
Yeah.
But no, guys, I think getting their hands dirty.
You know, that's the awareness piece. And yeah, it's unfortunately lacking. And, you know, there's a lot of reasons for it. And, you know, part of it is okay, you have them at the school. It is challenging to take them to a job site and see those kind of things and experience it. And then you have the liability issues of, well, I don't want them using power tools. What if the kid cuts their finger off? And, you know, I mean,
right.
I get that those are challenges, but at the same time, like those are opportunities for them to learn and develop those correct skills so that they're not afraid of those kind of things and the tools and different parts and pieces. And
I think that's plus part of it. Yeah. Plus, if they have a couple years of experience while coming through high school, you know, and they're not starting, you know, right into a career as knowing absolutely nothing, then they're already far ahead of the curve and probably going to earn a much better salary than the guy who knows absolutely nothing and has to be trained, you know, which costs a business money, you know.
Absolutely. So how are you kind of working to change, you know, and inspire kids to get in the skilled trades? What are some of the things that you're taking on right now to try and remedy that?
Yeah. So everything that I can do, everything, everywhere I can get in front of to talk about it, to be the influence, you know, speaking at schools, this podcast right here, you know, working with Forbes, working with these other guys that have done articles, trying to be an influence myself so that folks can see, you know, hey, if you want to come out here and you want to get your hands dirty, this is also what you can have, you know, just showing the opportunity really, you know, of, career A or career B, you know, versus you only got one option, you know?
Yeah, no, I think that's good. And I think one of the other things that's kind of missing sometimes from the conversation is I think kids don't understand. They just see, okay, let's just take an example, like let's say electrician, for example. Okay.
Yeah.
Oh, I just, you know, pull wire or whatever. And I, you know, but that's not the end state of their career. Like they learn that now, A, they're going to have a lifelong skill. They're going to always know how to electrify mm-hmm. a home, but then mm-hmm. B, if they continue to learn and grow at that job, they can actually be ones that own their own company and they can own right. an electrical firm and they can employ mm-hmm. five people or 500 people mm-hmm. and they could be that business owner as well. Right.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And you know, you can go to school and you can get a business degree, you know, and that's going to teach you so much, but really coming out here and learning the ins and outs of the business, you know, of course you got to learn the skill first and work your way up until you're in a position where you can do it yourself and then start your business and then grow your business. But you have to start at the entry level, you know, or you have to at least know the skill set, you know, or you have to at least know the business part of it, you know.
Absolutely.
But coming out here and getting shoulder to shoulder with somebody is how you're going to learn that, you know.
Absolutely. Yeah, one of the most frustrating things that I've seen is when I've hired, you know, more of a white-collar worker, let's just say, out of school. And, mm-hmm. you know, a lot of them have this expectation, which is really false again, that, you know, they go to school and they're like, well, I'm looking for management. you don't even know the business. You don't even know the job yet. And you're already trying mm-hmm. to be a manager. And I think a lot of them try and skip that step of, you know, hey, I started out sweeping houses and picking up debris. And,
yeah.
You know, I had to start from the bottom and work my way up.
Me too, man. And I've also experienced it with guys coming even a construction management degree right out of school. I've worked with guys that have had that and you get them out here and they start fumbling around because, you know, they learn what the books taught them and man, that's not the real world. And there's also a huge respect element too of the guy who had his boots on the ground for years and knows the ins and outs and kind of knows how everything flows versus a guy who came right out of school and has never got his hands dirty and doesn't really know the flow of everything and how everything actually operates from guy to guy and sub to GC and all that stuff, you know? So it does make it very difficult, you know?
Well, that's a good segue into the next question, which is we kind of hinted at this earlier and that's, you know, there's a lot of stuff that they teach you in school that you maybe never use. So what are some things that you'd mentioned that you continually learning that you're learning outside of school that maybe you wish they would have incorporated into your school education?
Yeah. So, you know, mindset number one, I think is the biggest thing, you know, and I don't know if school will ever teach that. I think you got to get around folks who are like, you got to learn number one yourself, what kind of mindset you want to have. And you got to learn to get around folks that have the same mindset, you know, learn from them. Another element of that is business, you know, how to grow and scale your business, how to be a leader. You know, those are all things that you can get with experience, but why go through the trenches and learn from all the mistakes and stuff when you can just pay someone to learn from theirs? You know, that's like the cheat, the shortcut, the quicker way to get there, you know, is just paying for the education.
Yep.
So again, you know, not to get my message misinterpreted on, you know, not getting education, you know, it's something I hold a lot of value to, but it's just
getting education. The right education.
Yeah, exactly. On what you need, you know, you can go get education for a lot of money on something you really don't even want to do, you know? Yeah.
Well, and I'm totally on board with you on that. I don't, you know, I think we're always worried about people attacking us for saying, you know, you don't necessarily need to go to college, but you know, I myself, you know, I mean, I learned more about business in my first year after I graduated college, just working in the business than I did in my 4 years there, because you can't replicate the mistakes and the failures that you make, because that's probably the easiest and best way to learn. It's the school of hard knocks, right?
That's right. That's right. That some of those lessons, even if I paid to have learned them, I they're going to fall to the wayside. They're not going to be top of mind. But when you pay from the hard knocks, you don't forget those lessons. You know?
When you screw up your measurement and it costs you money and you lost money on a job, you know, that's it's a painful lesson, but you learn it pretty quick.
and it's not to be forgotten for sure. Yeah,
absolutely. So, I guess what's a philosophy that you have or you've adopted that you try and impart to the youth when you talk to them?
A philosophy?
Yep.
If I understand your question, I think the mindset that I've always had being young is, you know, get up, put an honest, hard day's work in, always do more than expected. And I'm a very firm believer that it'll always come back to you. So breaking that down a little bit, you know, that everyone I've worked for, I've always worked harder than I think was expected of me. And I've quickly grew through businesses as an employee. As a business owner, I always oversee expectations with my customers. We have raving reviews everywhere. Never have any issues getting paid. So again, just to reiterate, just getting up every morning and working harder than is expected of you, and very, very firm believer that it's always going to be paid back, you know?
Okay, great. I love it. So obviously we mentioned early on, you've appeared in Forbes and a couple of articles. So, how has it impacted what you're trying to do and your business? Have you seen an impact from that?
I think more of anything is credibility. I think, you know, you can be shouting in the wind all day long, but when you have someone to recognize that you have a good argument, or, you know, a good influence, a good voice behind you, that, it definitely goes a lot further way. You know, it also shows that you have, validity too, to what you're talking about, you know?
Absolutely. Yeah. So it's giving you that credibility. So when you go in and talk to either to schools or to try and get your foot in the door, right, you can kind of say, well, you know, I was featured in this, and it kind of gives you that.
Yeah. That you're not just some Joe Schmo off the street trying to, you know, a lot of people are really skeptical too. You know, they think that you may have an ulterior motive, you know, but you know, with something like that backing you, it definitely helps, I think.
Okay. No, I love it. What else? I mean, what else do you think could be done in the future here to get, you know, get to these kids earlier and get them, you know, thinking about the trades as a viable option, or think about just maybe bypassing school and betting on themselves?
I think that we need to get to the kid earlier on. I think that at a very young age, you can quickly see what kids are kinesthetic and what kids aren't. And I think those kids need to be recognized as early on and, you know, shown that they can go different paths, even through school, you know, like, coming through school with the vocational classes being available, even at a younger age. I'm not talking about giving, you know, 5-year-old skill saws to work with, but, I think there's definitely things earlier on in a kid's life that we can show them different opportunities and see if that is something that they're strong at or not strong at, you know?
Yeah. One of the things I've heard is, you know, I mean, a lot of people try and reach them at the high school age, but it's already kind of too late, isn't it?
It is. It is. Yeah. That's exactly what I mean. Yeah. I mean, even young elementary school, you know, you're going to see kids who have more of an engineered mindset than you know, some other folks, you know. So I think trying to, again, you know, that's a huge ask, right? Because we're relying on a teacher at that point to.
Yeah, who's spent all their life in finer education. So that's right. All they know. So what are they going to teach?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and we're relying on them too to identify which kids may be better on either end of the spectrum.
Yeah, and I think that's, you know, I mean, there's a couple of disconnects there. So one of them is, you know, okay, you know, we have these different learning types, right? And you have, you know, sort of more the intellectual type and the ones that are going to be really good on a computer or really good, you know, in that sort of white collar job. But there's a whole bunch of kids that have that energy, right? They're the ones that can't sit in that chair all day. They're the ones that, you know, they're fiddling with something. They're just doing something. I had a friend that his parents got mad at him because he would like take something and just take it apart and put it back together. And he to this day works. That's what he does. He repairs electronics now, but he would take apart the telephone to figure out how it worked and then put it back together.
Yeah.
And we had to identify those kids with those skills and that passion and put them on the right track.
Yeah, exactly. I was that kid, you know, I was the kid who always got, I would get done with my homework even before we were done in class. You know, I would be skipping ahead. She'd still be giving us examples of how to solve a problem and I'd be doing all the homework. So I didn't have to do it when I got home because I wanted to get home and play with toys or, you know, work on something with my dad, you know. And what would happen is I'd be done so much earlier in class that I'd start cutting up and I'd start distracting other kids. And then I'd get kicked out of class for being a distraction, you know?
Sure.
And those are the kids though, whose brains work differently, you know? So instead of punishing those kids, then maybe, you know, and making them stand out in the hall or sending them to ISS where you just literally just waste your day away all day long. Cause you just have to sit in a classroom and not speak to anybody, you know?
Yep.
Maybe we send them to a different class to say, okay, well, we know you were bored easily and quickly with history class. So, you know, now that could, you know, again, that's a disconnect possibly. I'm not developing the school system here. I'm just saying,
no, I know,
you know, we need to figure out a different strategy to do something with those kids. Not reward them.
Young kids aren't intentionally bad as far as
I wasn't either. I mean, I wasn't purposely cutting up. They're just distracting people.
They're just maybe not put in the right environment where they're going to succeed.
Right. Mm-hmm.
So the other part of the disconnect question is this, and this is, I think, one of the biggest challenges that we have is that certain industries have a very clear path. You know, like if you want to be a lawyer, you know, you gotta graduate high school, then you gotta go to college, and then you gotta go to grad school, and you gotta take the LSAT, and like you've got this very clear path. And then by that time, you're identified, and a law firm is probably going to be calling you and saying, "Hey, we want you." In the trades, it's not that way at all, right? Like, we don't even know how to get to these kids. Like, they don't, most of them, like, there's no direction on how to get an apprenticeship or even how do you even get out onto a job site? How do you even identify a carpenter to find to work with? So,
right.
How do you think we solve that problem?
That's a great question, man, for sure. So, I don't know. I haven't ever had to put thought into that before. You know, everyone that, either on either end of the spectrum, if I was going to find a career or I was hiring someone for a career, you're right, man. It is very like, here's a huge pool of people. How do we sort through that?
Well, they're busy, right? They're not going to be in schools because they're out there working. They're working with their hands. But yeah, it's almost very like, I hate to say tribal, but it is, you know, it's very like you kind of get, you got to get into the, I don't want to say gang, but it's like, you know, sort of get into the gang somehow and be
initiated
to,
somehow. Yeah.
Yeah. And get in there. And then, so it's a big challenge. And I think that's one of the reasons that it fails a lot. And would you agree with that?
100%. Yeah. It's very difficult. Like I said, on both ends of the spectrum, either getting your foot in the door with the right company or hiring that person that's the right fit for you. We've worked really hard the last 2 years on developing some systems on hiring. And I think we're light years ahead of most people who are fussing about not having help and stuff. I mean, every single day we get a long pool of lists of great applicants, you know? But even with where we're at now, it's not a very perfect system. And we're only working on one side of the spectrum too. We're not working on the other side of the spectrum of, you know, I just graduated high school. How do I find the right career for me in the blue collar industry? You know?
So that makes a lot of sense. So, I guess what's something, you know, shifting gears a little bit, what's something that people maybe don't know about you that you'd love to share?
That's a good question. You know, a lot of folks just see my story of blue collar and stuff, but we work really hard, but we play really hard too. You know, I've raced dirt bikes my whole life. I've just transitioned the last 2 years into racing side by sides. I raced dirt bikes at a pro level for 10 years.
Wow.
Yeah. And they say with age comes a cage. So trying to get in a roll cage now so I don't get broke up as much as I was on the bike, you know.
Yeah, it's a little harder to recover once you get a little bit older from those activities.
Takes a whole lot longer.
Yep. Yeah, that's cool. That's a lot of fun.
Yeah, it's been a blast for sure.
Fantastic. So how about what's something that I didn't ask you that maybe you think would be helpful for people to know?
Man, I think we covered a lot today. I don't think there's anything in particular I wanted to put my finger on to kind of get a message out. You know, I think really the biggest message is if you're, you know, a young guy or girl, because it's not, you know, the trades, that's another huge misconception, right? The trades aren't just limited to males, you know. Yep. There's a lot of females that are getting into the trades nowadays.
Have you seen, I'll just throw this out there, as just, have you seen the house that she built? Have you seen anything about that?
I haven't.
No, so there was we do have it on a podcast, but there's a home in Utah that was built 100% all female, everything
really
top to bottom, and that happened about, I don't know, 2-3 years ago, and mm-hmm. and now they've written a book. So when we talk about reaching the youth, they wrote a gal, basically it's a cartoon kind of book for little kids. So you give it to young girls, and it just talks about how that came about and how cool yeah. it is. And now they're building other houses and
awesome.
Setting up chapters to try and do more around the country. So there is positive stories out there, but we don't always hear about them.
That lady who built that, did she come from corporate?
You know, I don't know. There was a whole team of them. I mean, there was probably about 12 that were really impactful on it. And okay. actually I've had some conversations with the head project manager, and we're like, I got to get you on the podcast, and yeah, she wants to no be doubt. On. And it just hasn't happened yet, but we'll be getting her on, and I'm sure that'll be a great,
for sure.
great question. So
yeah, I'd love to tune in for that
future episode. Right? Yeah. So if people want to reach out to you or learn a little bit more about what you're doing, what's the best way for them to reach out to you?
Yeah, you can find me on all social media. My handle on there is official John Seaman, S-E-A-M-A-N. That's how you spell my last name. You okay. can go to my website, jseaman111. So jseaman111.com. That's got all my social media handles on there. We do a podcast ourselves, Grinding for Greatness. My website has the link for that as well. You can find it on all social media and anywhere you listen to podcasts as well.
Fantastic. Well, thanks for sharing that. And we'll make sure we put that link and those kind of pieces into the show notes as well. So if you are listening Perfect. And you want to catch up with John, you can do that through those links. So big thank you here to John for joining from JC Property Professionals, and appreciate you being on the Home Building Hero today.
Yeah, man. Thanks so much for taking the time to have me on here and get the message out for sure.
Once again, thank you for tuning in to the Home Building Hero, broadcasting live from the Bellman Home Studio. If you haven't already, please make sure to give us a 5-star rating on Apple Podcasts, and make sure to hit that subscribe button so you don't miss any future content. Until next time, I'm David Bellman, signing off.